Jesus went into Nazareth, his hometown, went into the synagogue, read the scriptures, and he sat down to teach. So I want you to know what I'm doing this morning is biblical. I'm going to focus this morning mainly on the Ephesian passage because we have been following that for the last month or so. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is describing to the church that our origin is with God. We were spoken forth before the foundations of the world as an expression of who God is in the world. He told us that our purpose as human beings, and particularly as Christians, is to live to the praise of His glory. And now in today's passage from Ephesians 4, we hear that we are to have expectations about our ethical living. The way we live day by day determines the kind of Christians that we really are. It determines whether we build up the body of Christ or not. This is a beautiful passage because it speaks of four attitudes that we have to have. And we have to have them at a certain level. Therefore, I named the sermon this morning, Attitude with Latitude. We all have attitudes. You know, a lot of times, especially when we're raising our children, we realize what attitudes we have. But I understand it from my wife that I have attitudes as well. And you have probably been told in one way or another at some time or another that you might need an attitude adjustment. We all have attitudes, but to what degree, to what extent should these attitudes be for us to call ourselves Christians? Not only within the body of Christ that comes together and celebrates on Sunday morning, but when we live out in the world. In this passage, Paul has told us that there is one body and one spirit, just as we are called to one hope, by one Lord, by one faith, by one baptism, by one God and Father of us all. We are the body of Christ. And He has equipped us to be the body of Christ and to bear that kind of image by giving to each of us spiritual gifts. And he just mentions a few here in Ephesians of the gifts, and some are listed elsewhere in Corinthians and Colossians and Galatians. But we all are granted a spiritual gift. Just as we all have some talent and ability when we're born with our first birth, in our new birth in Christ Jesus with our baptism comes some spiritual gift that is not for us, but it's for us to offer back to God for the building up of the body of Christ. But even when we have our spiritual gifts, if we don't use them with the proper attitude, we hurt the church. We don't live up to our greatest potential in Christ Jesus. And we are told that there are four attitudes, four character traits that we need to live up to in the highest way in this passage. He says, if we are to lead lives worthy of the calling to which we have been called, that first of all, we must live with humility. Now, that's not something our world believes in. Our world believes in pride. Our world believes in take care of yourself first, because if you don't, no one else will. Our world believes in promoting yourself so you get the attention you deserve. But that's not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of the apostles. That's not the way that we are to go as Christians. That we are to be humble. That even though we have gifts, talents, and abilities, even though we have achieved great things, we're not supposed to focus on that. We are supposed, as Paul has told us elsewhere, to treat one another as better than ourselves. That's what it means to be humble. Not always pushing ourselves forward first, but looking to others and lifting them up and helping others to feel that they're valuable by our not proving how good or how great we are. Now, that's hard to do, because when we go to school, for all of our young people and some of our adult college students as well, we're having to prove ourselves. We're having to show ourselves in the classroom that we're good enough to get that higher grade. And when we're out on the job, you know, it's hard to be humble, because our next pay raise may be based on whether we show how good we are. And sometimes we have to kind of nudge the boss to notice it. That's not exactly being humble. But we're called to live humble lives, especially when we gather here together as God's people, to build one another up, to treat one another as if they are better than we are. Because you see, we're all wonderful and glorious in God's sight. So when we gather here as God's people, we don't have to fight for attention. God has given His life for us in Christ Jesus. We are already valuable people. We are told in Ephesians we were spoken forth by that God before the foundations of the world. We are already valuable to God. This is one place we don't have to come to prove ourselves. We are the beloved of God. The second character trait is gentleness. You know, I guess that follows very well from humility. But that we need to have gentle spirits when we gather together as God's people. We need to be gentle in the way we maybe suggest people learn and grow. But you know, often we take the life we've lived out in the world and we bring it in to the life of the church, and we can be kind of harsh with one another. We can be critical towards one another. We can be nitpicky. We can even bully one another, you know, in sort of a religious way. Well, you know, if you're a Christian, you ought to be such and such, or you ought to behave in such and such a way. Sometimes we use the Word of God to beat people over the heads rather than touch their hearts. Gentleness, humility, and gentleness in the way we deal with one another. And we live that life of humility and gentleness with patience. I don't know about you, but I'm not the most patient person in the world. Monday a week ago, I went to physical therapy and did rather well. We were heading down towards Cape Fear Valley Hospital, and I said, "Jane, let's pull in the hospital. I've got to see Betty." And so we had discussed that I would go into the lobby and I'd wait for her to park, and she would come in and get a wheelchair and roll me up to the sixth floor. But you know, I was feeling pretty good. So I got in there and I had my trusty walker here, and I said, "Well, I feel pretty good." So I walked through the lobby and up the steps to the elevator, up to the sixth floor, and I went to see Betty Zielinski, because she went into the hospital while I was in the hospital, and I've not seen her yet. And it was such a joy to be there with her. But I knew right then when I sat down that my leg started swelling, and I had overdone it. Why? Impatient. Have to sit there and wait for Jane to come, find a wheelchair, and roll me up. Now, a little bit of that was sympathy, because that's a long thing. You got to roll a person my weight up there at the hospital. But mostly it was impatience. St. Paul said, if we're going to be the body of Christ, we need to be humble and gentle with patience. Why? Because in the life of the church, we're dealing with people. And if anything on earth will test your patience, it's other people. That if we're going to be the church that God's called us to be, the church He wants to shape us into, we must be patient with one another. Because we don't all grow at the same rate. We don't all move towards the fullness of God in the same way. And we would do well to be patient with one another. And finally, and this I believe would help us to be humble, gentle, and patient, bearing with one another in love. The word love that's here is the Greek word agape. And agape means wanting the best for the other person. Bearing with one another with a love that wants the best for every person here. That's right. Even for that person that's been snappy with you. Even for that person that made you feel a little guilty, beating you over the head with the Bible or religious platitudes. Yes, wanting the best, even for the person you might not like a whole lot. See, God didn't say we had to like each other. God said we needed to love each other. See, like has to do with my personal preferences. It has to do with what I like. And you might not like the same things I like. And we might not like the same people. But when we gather here as God's people, we love each other and want the best for everyone here. Even the person who said something to us that just hurt us to the core of our hearts. We want to love them that they might have the best that God has to offer. Now, when that happens, something wonderful happens in the church. We start speaking the truth in love. And this is where the passage closes. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. You know, we go around and think it's all right to be harsh with one another. I'm telling the truth. That person needs to hear the truth if they're going to correct their ways and do right. Oh, how many times I hurt and crushed people speaking the truth because I failed to take the time to speak the truth in love. I knew what the truth was, but I couldn't say it in a loving way. Maybe it was someone who hurt my feelings and I still had a grudge against them. I had to work through my forgiveness before I could speak the truth in love. Maybe it's someone who had kind of undercut me in a situation, gone behind my back, talked about me. I got to deal with that before I can speak the truth in love. Sometimes it's taken me a long time to search my heart through Christ Jesus. To get the garbage out so I could then go to a person and speak the truth in love. And you know, we need not only do that here in the life of the church, but we need to do that at home with one another. How many times do we speak the truth in such an unloving way that people can't hear the truth? Now, how can we do all these things? Be so humble and gentle with patience and speak the truth in love and want the best for everybody in the life of the church. We do it because of the grace of God. We do it because Paul says, each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And you see, our Lord held back nothing. So we have grace that holds back nothing. By grace, we can be the people that the apostle wanted us to be, to build up the church. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body, the church, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. God wants to take these attitudes and just take them to the highest latitude we can go to build us up as a church that is so full of love that people are attracted to St. Matthew's because of the love that flows forth from this place. This is what the apostle calls us to be. These are the attitudes we need to have as God's people, here, at home, and probably the most difficult place to live those attitudes out in the world. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for the blessings You've given us in Christ Jesus. Let us have these proper attitudes to the highest degree, that as a church we might grow higher, higher, and higher in the love that we share with others. Amen.